You're listening to Her Heart Heals Divorce Radio. Hi, I'm Christina Cuevas. 7 years ago, I went through a divorce and it completely turned my world upside down, and I'm so glad it did. I documented my healing to share information with other women going through their own divorce journey. And now, with thousands of downloads around the world from divorced women just like you, I'm here to show you how to ditch the shame around divorce and finally heal so that you can regain the confidence to create your most abundant and joyful future. I'm so glad you're here. This is Her Heart Heals Divorce Radio. Hey ladies, welcome back to another episode of Rebuilding You, and I'm really excited because this episode is actually a replay of my interview with the lovely Brenna Keeley. She is the host of Authentic Bitches podcast. She is a human design expert, and it was just so fun to connect with her. She's one of my mentors, and I was so honored and excited when she asked me to be a part of her podcast. So I wanted to share my interview here and do a little replay for you guys. As you guys listen to this episode, you're gonna get so much information. One of the continual themes that I have in my teaching and my coaching and all across my social platforms that you see me teach on is just getting to know ourselves and all the different layers and all the different versions of ourselves. And human design is another layer in which we can go deeper and really get to know ourselves down to all of the intricate details. I talk a lot about my story, and Brenna just does such a great job of weaving human design throughout the episode and kind of highlighting certain things. I highly recommend that you check out Brenna and all of her information. I'm going to include links to every way that you can access her. She does these fantastic TikTok lives. If you've never had an introduction to human design, she just does such a fabulous job at making it practical and being able to use something like human design in our daily lives. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast episode. Find me on Instagram, DM me how you liked this episode and some of the things that you learned from it. If we haven't yet connected on email, I would love to have you part of the Her Heart Heals Insiders. Be sure to click the link in the show notes and you'll get an email on tips, coaching, transformation, guidance, everything that you need to up-level your life through divorce and beyond divorce. And so I would love to welcome you into our email community there. It's absolutely free. But without further ado, here is the episode. Enjoy.
So welcome to the Authentic Bitches podcast. My name is Brenna. Welcome back if you have been here before. I am a human design reader, mentor, and entrepreneur that's dedicated to helping you unlock the hidden truths within yourself. And here together on the Authentic Bitches podcast, we're always going to dive deep into the mysteries of your self-discovery while empowering you and guiding you towards the most fulfilled version of your life with the help of human design. And today I have with me the amazing Christina Cuevas from Her Heart Heals. And we're going to talk all about divorce, healing yourself, and human design and the intersection between all three. So thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Brenna. I'm so excited.
Too. And I just have to say, for those of you who are listening, we met via TikTok Live and we were just laughing at that.
We sure did. I know. I was scrolling through TikTok late at night and saw Brenna and instantly felt just magnetic. And I was like, I have got to work with her. So we booked the session and it was great.
Yes, here we are. And for context too, what's funny and why we felt so magnetically connected automatically is because we are both 1-3 sacral manifesting generators. So the way that we act is so similar. We're very, very similar.
So crazy.
Yes. But I wanted to kind of start off because obviously I know you, but my listeners do not. So I'm going to just kind of ask you to give an overview of who you are, how you developed your business, and what you're kind of doing now to help women through divorce. Because as you know, as we mentioned earlier in prepping, I have 3 very close friends of mine that are all going through the finalizations of their divorce or kind of, you know, next steps in life right now. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I was ready to give you my spiel that I always say, because I feel like it comes so automatic now. And so I'm having to like break it down. I'm like, no, we're having a conversation. We're talking. I'm not announcing it. But yeah, I went through a divorce in 2015 and I actually filed right after Christmas. And it completely changed my whole world. And I mean, I'm in the finance industry. I have been a corporate girly for, you know, since I was 18 years old. And it wasn't until I was going through a divorce where I was like, this is fucking hard. I'm sorry, can I cuss on this?
Yes, you can. Yeah. It is okay. The Authentic Bitches podcast. So you kind of, people either get it or they don't. Yeah.
And, you know, I was going through the loneliest, darkest, most personal journey of my life. And I'm one of those people that I like to plan things very intricately. And when I make a decision on something, you best believe that I have mapped out everything after what's going to happen. So before I even say yes, I have to think about all the different things and possibilities.
Yes.
And so when somebody gets married, you think that you never plan for a divorce because in your mind, it's already made up. That's your happily ever after, right? And so when I was going through this period of my life, I was like, what the fuck did I do wrong? And it wasn't so much about the person. I knew that this person was wrong. He had done terrible things. But it was more of like replaying all of my steps intricately. And then it brought me really to the question that changed everything, is not so much about him, but what in me chose someone like him. And that shifted everything. And I in going through my healing, there was really no roadmap for someone like myself that likes to be efficient, that is a planner, that likes to kind of get shit done. I had gone to therapy. I had done, you know, divorce support groups and things like that, which are wonderful, but it kept me stuck. It wasn't moving the needle. And so I had to really create my own path. I was like, fuck it. I dusted off some Tony Robbins books that I had literally from Unleash the Power Within. I went twice and was like, I am going to work through this, because what scared me was, I mean, this is something that I think everybody does when you're going through divorce, was like, how long is it going to take me to get through the thing?
Yeah.
Because it hurts so bad. And Google says, according to Google, technical term here, right? Google says that it's about half of the time that you were in the entire relationship that it takes you to get over that person.
Right.
That was like a jail sentence for me. Bye guys, doing time. See you in 5 years. Right. And I was like, no, there's no fucking way. I'm spending all this time. We got to take matters into our own hands, because I'm going to make this shit work. And I am going to make sure that I don't get divorced ever again. Yeah. And I'm going to correct the problem and figure out the why. Mm. And so part of that, I started documenting my healing, because I was like, how many other people are out there like me that think this, that want this information? And so I created my podcast, Rebuilding You, which at the time was called Her Heart Heals Divorce Radio, and just started blowing on there and sharing about my journey. And, you know, here we are 7 years later. I don't know. I can't count.
Yeah, I know. And time is like crazy.
8 years later.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have this community of women, and I'm able to help women. So I actually started seeing clients. I mean, I started getting people that came to me and was like, what did you do? I'm going through divorce too. And so I just started sharing the techniques. And I'm one of those people that has to learn everything about everything. And so I got certified and all kinds of stuff, not because I went for the certification. I just went because I wanted to like know about it, and started using a lot of these modalities like neuro-linguistic programming and mindset and manifestation and, you know, breathwork healing, and incorporating all these things to kind of create my own little system that worked. And so,
yeah, so manifesting generator of you. Yeah.
Yes. So funny. Yeah. And that's kind of how I ended up here. And now I just take all of my information, which what is now the Her Heart Heals method, and help guide women through this journey that really desire not just to carry on with life, but to really be able to say, like, I went through this thing and it was really fucking hard. And I'm standing like on top of the mountain now because I've evolved into something better. And I think that a lot of women just feel so much shame, and you feel like a failure after divorce. And I really want to be able to show women that this can be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you.
I love that. And so empowering to like, just, I love that you don't, it's like taking onus or ownership over your connection in it. And like how you, what role did you play, instead of being like, why did this happen to me? But like, why did this happen for me is like the quote that kept coming to mind, like as you were speaking to, which I feel like you totally embody that. And it makes so much sense, because as like the 1-3 in you, like the one archetype is like the investigator. We figure everything out. We plan the wedding. And if we're solid, we're solid. Like if we got this, we got this. And then the 3 is like the martyr line. It's trial and error. It's the bonding strategy is actually bonds made and broken. So if you don't enter into something correctly or fully informed about, you know, all the things that you want out of a relationship, you can't technically leave it correctly. It's not going to be all like warm and fuzzy and cozy, you know?
That actually, I've never heard it that way. So that, thank you for that. I'm actually going to write that down.
Yes. Yeah. And thankfully, it'll be about 10 minutes into the episode too. So you're going to scroll ahead and realize. But it's true for everyone too. So like, this is where I love like our intersection also, because I feel like when you know your profile lines, I think a lot of course I go right to the stuff that's like extra, right? That seals after your energy type, like, okay, but here are all the other things that you want to know like very quickly. And it tracks. I love that you embody so much of that 3 line of like, if I can help you get through this more efficiently because I couldn't find somebody that was doing it in a way that I liked, you just became that person. Mm-hmm. And that's not always an easy thing for people to do. So I'm glad that you chose to go with your purpose, you know, where you're like, oh, okay, I didn't realize I was going to be an expert in divorce, because who wants to be an expert in that, right? Like, you don't think of that being like in mind, but you're like, you know what? I'm not going to let this experience have happened to me without a reason, you know, like I'm meant to teach this in some way, shape or form. You've clearly helped a shit ton of people and still continue to throughout your career. And it's like, in so many ways, like I can't wait to just watch, like, it's already booming, but like how much better it can get, you know, like throughout this whole process for you. So that's really exciting.
Thank you. No, it's, it's been interesting. And like somebody told me the other day, like, thank you for reliving your trauma so that we could all learn from you. And I was like, damn, I never really thought about it that way, because in order to be able to stay relevant and connect with people, because I've obviously moved on in my life, you know, in a relationship and all that. And I don't want to be, you know, I'm not grieving my own divorce anymore.
Yes.
But to also still remain empathetic to the woman or the person even who is in it.
Yes.
I have to still somewhat be there still and to really be able to connect. And because I cannot connect if I don't go there myself mentally. So I have to know how to really kind of go back there over and over and over again and just kind of talk about that. So yeah, makes sense now.
Yeah, like you're
about the three lines.
Yes, exactly. Like you can't forget the experiences that you've been through, the mindset that you were in, even though you were so evolved past it. Were you a Housewives person, or have you ever watched Housewives, like reality?
Oh, yes.
TV? Okay.
What season or what city are we talking?
Well, I'm rewatching New York right now. So this is why it's at the forefront of my mind, which is one of my favorites, especially I grew up in New Jersey and I'm right outside of New York City. But Carol Radziwill, who wrote the book, What Remains, and she was a widow, and her husband died of cancer. They met when she was working and she was a journalist and et cetera. And she said that when people have read her book, you know, her memoir about being a widow, and she's now out in the city in like these little like hot mama, like hoochie shorts and like high heels. And she's like, oh, I'm out and having fun and drinking and, you know, celebrating with my friends. And then I have to switch back into widow mode when someone talks to me about my book and like that pivot point. So that reminds me of what you're saying. Like we're always evolving as manifesting generators that we don't remember what level people are seeing us at. I say life for us is like the Guggenheim Museum. It's like, it's an upward spiral for every level that we go, and we're like, oh, okay, this is a level 3 conversation. This is level 27. Like, you know, in every level, if you will, is a year of our life.
Yes.
So it's just funny, 'cause it reminded me of that, where she's like, okay, I have to pivot back into this, you know, kind of mindset. Which leads me kind of to like some questions too, that I just know that, you know, with my girlfriends that are going through divorce and similar things, like when you were kind of starting your self-reflection about how you kind of contributed to the dynamic, you know, or what ultimately was like the dissolving of your marriage, what were some things that kind of came up for you as a part of that? Yeah.
So I mentioned about dusting off my Tony Robbins notebooks, right? And so I'm not new to putting myself in uncomfortable situations to grow. Mm-hmm. I actually had this realization last night in the sound healing event that I went to that we were talking about, but I was like, I'm addicted to quantum leaping.
Yes.
I think. And so I think when I went through divorce, it was like, what the fuck didn't I heal?
Yeah.
Because I thought that I did all this work. And I think at that point, when I was doing my work in divorce, I was like realizing that I wasn't making myself vulnerable enough, and I wasn't being completely honest with myself with what it was that I needed to heal. I was more focused on like, give me all the books, just tell me what to do, and it'll work out, sort of like manifesting, you know.
Yes.
And I wasn't going deep.
Yeah.
I was just sort of like keeping it surface level healing. And I mean, I knew that I've had issues with, you know, mommy issues, daddy issues.
Sure.
But I think that going through my divorce, it really led me on a journey to where I was like, I just need to start completely from square one. And that was developing a relationship with my inner child.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. How old were you too? Cause just for astrological context too, I'm curious about how this fell within years for you with maybe Saturn return, but how old were you when you got married, and then how old were you when you got divorced?
So I was actually only married for 14 months.
Okay.
So I was in my relationship a lot longer than we were actually married. So I was 29 when I got married, and I was 32 when the divorce was finalized, but I was essentially 30 when I filed. So,
Wow. Okay.
28 and 30-ish.
Yeah. Your Saturn return era. So that was, I'm curious. I know, what's your big three too? Your Cancer, Sun, and your rising and your moon. Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's Sagittarius.
Sad Rising. Hold on, let me see.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'll have to bring it up. Yeah, I should have run your birth chart before. I should have known I would have asked you.
Oh my gosh, bro, I should have run your birth chart.
Yeah, I know. Things are usually set, right? I know. Just
kind of. I know.
But yeah, because I believe at least, I think you're a Capricorn. Yeah, you're a Capricorn moon, but I just can't see your rising sign from your chart easily off the top of my. Your Human Design body graph, I actually have right behind you here. Do you have the app on your phone?
I have the Astrology Master app on my
yes.
phone.
Okay, awesome.
Let's see what I'm at. What I am. Astrology 101. Okay, I need help.
I know, I understand. Wait, if you show my phone too, I
Oh
could.
yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be your ascendant, it should say. Oh, Gemini moon. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Yeah. Do you have the chart itself, like the circular map?
Yeah.
Because then I can see your rising is. Yes, Sag rising. Yeah, that tracks.
Okay.
It's on the right hand
Okay.
side. Okay. It's like comes up over the horizon. I'm an Aquarius rising, Scorpio moon, Pisces sun. So the water suns and I like
Ooh.
You and I track a lot. But yeah, I was just curious because it's funny because my friend, one of my friends who's going through a divorce is actually just finalizing it or just finalized it officially on the 8th of this month, is also a Sag rising. So it's funny how like you guys need like, you know, different, you want exploration. Like you are the people that always want to do something new and different and interesting. So if you have this kind of plateau where you've kind of outgrown your person, you kind of, it's coming to terms with like being okay with that in a lot of ways. And I think like, oh, like if this person never changes, am I okay with that? And I'm always big on like dating people for who they are at that moment, not their potential. And yeah, that's a big one too. I learned that the hard way, you know, but I think that that's like, which who doesn't, you know, we have to go through those experiences for that reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that a lot of people who also are listening right now have a bigger, it's ninth house is ruled by Sagittarius or have like Sagittarius placements in some way, Scorpio also. So kind of tracks the rebirth and not being afraid to go to uncharted territory like yourself, which aligns. Did you feel like it was a matter of like when you met your inner child that you, it kind of totally changed how you were as an adult and how you evolved? So that was created a disconnect in your marriage?
Yeah, I think it was, I think that that was just like my starting point, right? Because I'm like, I would spend so many nights awake replaying the Rolodex of like, it's like that meme where you were that there's that lady.
Yes.
That she kind of looks like Julia Roberts and it's got all the, all the things. It's
just the
like,
equations.
Yeah, the equations. Exactly. And so that was the start. I was like, let's just tear it all down.
Yeah.
And start from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so I just began to kind of go on this journey with myself. But in that, the big thing is realizing patterns. And I love finding patterns and seeing similarities and things like that. And so I think it was when I started to really dive deep into the relationship that I had with my biological father and the role that just so many men in my life. And also, here's the kicker. I am third generation divorcee where the man abandons the woman.
Wow.
And that was a pattern too, right? And so that was like, okay, there's something that I was taught here that I am subconsciously doing that has led me on all of these relationships that had all these red flags. They were all the same red flags.
Of course, yeah.
And it was even too, like, you have, like, myself included, where people would say, like, oh, I love bad boys. You know, who doesn't love a bad boy?
Right.
But there's a reason for that. We created that, or we learned that somewhere. And I think as women as well, you know, we have this motherly instinct. And so when we see someone who's like the bad boy, who's the wounded bad boy,
yeah,
it we just want to like mother the person.
Yep.
And there's a huge, you know, differentiator there of what is a healthy relationship and what's not. And I think, unfortunately, with the state of the world that we're in, you know, we're not taught, we don't have a lot of good role models of what a long, healthy, lasting, thriving relationship is. We don't see that enough to know what we're measuring up against. And yeah. So we're just taught to like accept and settle a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so I think that was like the big piece of my work is like figuring that part out.
Yeah. Yeah. That so tracks. And I think what's interesting now is what I'm seeing with a lot of people too, is like, online, it's even if they haven't been through a divorce, or if you're listening to this and you haven't been through a divorce, a lot of it is like the twin flame or the situationship, like the one that got away, like that kind of energy of how people are also kind of a lot of similar emotions that have come up with that. And it's mm-hmm. kind of like what we're talking a little bit about, like, which I know you were saying you made a TikTok about, like mourning the loss of what you thought the relationship was going to be. There's actually been a lot of talk about that right now because Ariana Grande just released her album, Eternal Sunshine. And of course, she's been in a lot of hot water because she is now with this man that was married and had a newborn baby, right? But a lot of people were talking about her patterning of like the fact that Mac Miller, who she talks about heavily in this album, right, who's passed, like died before she really was able to like get any sort of what she thought the relationship was going to be, which was probably marrying him or whatever, right? So a lot of that energy of like, for me, I know that I dealt with somebody who was like, I was like, oh, like it was the right person but the wrong time. And really, that's what I've said a lot about that those situations, just in my own experiences. I've never been married nor divorced, right? So it was more of that energy of like, oh, like if only they, it's dating someone for their potential, but like, you seem like you're right there with wanting to do the work. And this man is just not willing to go that extra mile to get out of their own way or get unstuck. And you kind of have to leave that behind, which is very, you know, three of us. And this person that I'm referencing just is out of his Saturn return, but he's a 3-6 profile where he actually lived the first 30 years of his life as a 3-3. So if you have a 6 in your profile mm-hmm. in human design, you go through a trial and error process to then embody that 6 line, which becomes the role model. Wow. So you're born as a role model. Yeah. Which is a big,
wow.
So we'll talk about that in, you know, like future stuff that we have planned together, but, a lot of people don't realize that. So they kind of, a lot of the time, if they don't adopt very early on that, like, what we're going through right now is a transit through gate 60, which is radical acceptance of like, I radically accept that we are breaking up, that this is not fucking working. I need to get a divorce. When I accept that, then I can do something with it, which is exactly what you did, where like you radically accepted the situation, or for anyone else listening, you radically accepted that you can't date this dusty person for potential. They don't even have to be dusty, which sometimes make it worse. Like you can love them from afar.
it's easy to
say that too, right? That's a whole other conversation I want to have eventually. Maybe it's, you know, for you to be part of it too, of, it's really easy for us to group projector men into dusty, like they don't try, they're lazy box, but projectors are only meant to work like 4 hours a day and a lot of alone time. So if you're anxiously attached, like that's not really that's going to trigger you a lot. And then let me find rhetoric that supports that. So a little tangential, but you know, it's interesting when we see people's profiles, and then for you and I both having a 3, which a lot of my listeners do, or they're 5-1 challenge solvers. So they share our 1. It's like, we need to investigate the, like, why did this happen? Like, what could I have done to control it? Because the 1 in us wants to control, where the 3 in us is like, okay, well, eventually we just need to rip off the Band-Aid. And then we respond to more information, which is our strategy on the other mm-hmm. side of it. So we don't know until we rip that Band-Aid right off.
Yeah. No, I had a boyfriend one time that he tried breaking up with me. And he tried. And he tried lots of times, actually. But I was young. I was so young, and I was willing to change everything. for him. I mean, I changed what I wore. I changed how I behaved. I changed all kind. No. I'll do this.
Yeah.
And I think at the same time as well, when it comes to like looking at the other person, it's going to be natural for us to evolve together with our people. But when you start to change the essence of who someone is or try to do their work for them, which is kind of part of that bad boy storyline.
Yes.
Like, and I think that was something that I really had to learn. And a lot of my clients actually go through is that piece of like, am I doing this journey that somebody else needs to go through? And it's almost like intrusive.
Yes.
To do that for some, like, that's not our place to go on this journey for this other person. And I think it's the biggest form of love if we can recognize that we don't want to be on the journey with them, but setting them free so that they can go on the journey that they need to go through.
Yes.
And like removing ourselves from the situation, because I think even as somebody who likes to control everything, I had to realize too that like, I'm not God.
Yeah. You're like, even though I feel like it sometimes, because I feel like like Bethany Frankel, she's like, maybe I am a know-it-all. Maybe I do know it all. And Real Servants, Real Housewives. I'm like, I feel that as an Aquarius rising. I'm like, but I'm smarter than that. Like, you know, we know as 1-3s that we will outsmart the lesson and we will get through it. So it pisses us off when we have to go through it anyway. And it gets messy because we're like, we know, I knew that I would know better than this, you know, like that energy.
And it's even too like it's easier for me most of the time with people that are in my circle to just do it.
Yes.
Rather than like have the other person do it, right? But again, that's robbing someone of their own experience. And so I carried a lot of weight in a lot of my relationships to like do a lot of things. And that was kind of part of that piece where, yes, I believe like we are all beings created of a higher power. We all have God in us, but we're also not God. So there's a line there, you know?
Yes. I always say that. I'm so glad you're saying that too, which makes so much sense that you have that same mindset of like, I say you can't outsmart people of the lessons that they're supposed to learn. Like they, no matter how clearly you see it, even if they let you, which, you know, givers have to have boundaries because takers don't have any. That's a cliche for a reason. It's like they are never going to integrate it. That's why you see your best friend that's struggling and say, you got a job for them at your company, because they keep saying, oh, I can't find a job. You know, like they're limiting belief, which is a big thing in the rhetoric of like all the Tony Robbins and the you are a badass at making money and all the books that I have. I'm literally looking at them right now, you know. Because they don't believe that they deserve it. They don't believe that they're deserving of the good relationship. They'll tell you that, you know, I don't think I'm good enough for you, or you're too good to me. Like watching out for all those kind of like subtle cues, which I think are becoming not so subtle, especially if TikTok University has any anything to do with it. But it's so true where it's like that we all have, all of us that have a 3, which is many people, or they're at least born into a 3 if they have a 6, have all of these trial and error things that they had to go through to evolve their spirit, their self-worth journey, their process of self-discovery. And just because we've done that lesson before, we could teach people, but it has to be through our sacral man-gen-ness in its exalted state. So we feel satisfied instead of frustrated, right? The signature theme instead of the not self theme, where we're like, okay, I'm just going to talk about what I've been through anyway, but there's a level of hustle that you don't have to do when you're speaking your truth in alignment with what you're interested in, where your people will naturally find you, like, you know, randomly at the grocery store, You know, it's like for me, like I know that obviously with you and I being here, my TikTok lives will connect me with my people that I'm supposed to connect with to interview for the podcast. I don't have to put out a call to say like, hey, if you want to be interviewed, you know, like there's always somebody that I can be a certified yapper with as two manifesting generators. They just talk all day long. So it's funny, you know, just kind of seeing how that plays out. But, you know, all that to say with in terms of relationship, like we to your point, we can't outsmart people. You know, outsmart the lessons that people have to learn for themselves.
Yeah. And I think it's also like you touched on a really important point too, because obviously that's why people in the service industry, like you, myself, that offer guidance to help people, they have to, the invitation has to be accepted. You know, it's not to say that you can't ever help people do the hard work, but they also have to want it, and they have to, it has to be a full yes, I'm here, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to do this work. And I always tell my clients, like, I am just the guide. You are the healer. I will show you how to get there, but I'm not going to do the work for you. I will show you, and we can work together, but it has to really come from within.
Yes, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah, I feel like that's a big piece where people don't really, and I know that there are points in my life where I also didn't even understand like that when I was going through it. Like I just, and I also came from, you know, certain parts of my environment growing up where it was like, oh, but you know, somebody else can take care of this for me, you know, especially as the women and you know, that's also something I want to touch on is I don't want to get too far into that, but a big thing that I was thinking about in terms of you being in the finance realm is actually asking you about financial independence and financial literacy as a woman in a relationship and a marriage, even if they're not married. Because if that was something that you struggled with, or if you were always in a place where you were financially literate, so you did have your own, but for women who are afraid to leave just because money is an issue, like maybe just some tips around that for women that may be struggling in that sort of way, you know, or experiencing, or they don't want a divorce because financially they just can't afford to, which a lot of people can't in a single income right now.
No, I think and that's a big part of my work too, is making sure that I have affordable ways that we can work together, because I realize that it's an investment. And as single women who are, you know, uncoupling and trying to find their independence, it's scary. I think the biggest thing that I struggled with still to this day, I mean, our traumas never really go away. They're always there. But, and so something for me is being financially stable. That is very important to me. And I think you even brought it up in my chart reading. And this is the part that caused a lot of shame going through my divorce, is that being, even being in the financial industry, all of that went out the window for this person. And he took everything. I signed over basically all of my rights. Like my, our house was in his name that I helped pay for half of. You know, there was like $250,000 on the table, that I had to decide to, it was either my mental sanity, or 'cause the divorce had already gone on for 2 years and we were fighting over the equity of this house, right? Which was about $250,000. He had drained the bank accounts. So there was nothing. I had left my job in corporate finance to go work, help him in his business. So I had no job. And then he was denying that I even worked for him. I was being paid under the table.
Oh my God.
And it was a whole thing. So I couldn't even get unemployment for this job that he refused to say that I worked at. So it was this whole thing. But I, it was actually a, the night before this it was our final hearing where it was either we were either going to come up with a settlement or it was going to go to a trial, mm-hmm. which is a very expensive. I had already spent like $25,000 on my divorce. And that night I just remember like looking up at the stars with tears streaming down my face.
Yeah.
And just being like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just give me a sign. Like, I need your help right now. And I'm here. Take me. And the next day at the hearing, we were in this room with this judge. And I walked out, or everybody walked out. It was just the judge and I.
Yeah.
And she pulls me aside and she was like, look, I have no doubt that this house is yours, half yours. With everything that you've shown me here, your case is really strong. I had receipts. I had everything to prove that this house was mine too. And she goes, but if you go to a trial, it is going to be costly. It is going to test your mental will.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's going to prevent you from like actually being able to move on and like close that door. She's like, you're young. You have your whole life ahead of you. And she goes, but I bet you, you'll never buy another house and not put your name on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're so right. And she was like, sometimes the hardest lessons are the most expensive.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's my sign. Yes. That was my sign that came to me. Right. Because it's not even common that a judge is like telling you this, like yeah. a, hey, heads up, you know? And I surrendered and I said, you know what? We're good. You know, he had said, I'll give you $75,000, but I want one of your dogs. I have two dogs. And he knew that he did not want my dog. He did not. That's part of the reason why we actually got divorced, is because he treated my animals horribly. So anyway, well, that's
number one sign. It's just a matter of time before. Well, and then treated you horribly. But yeah, I know. It's just how people treat animals and wait, like any waiters or waitresses or any of your servers in general. Yeah, the two close ends. Yeah,
yeah. And so I was like, or what then, you know, I'm not giving you any of the dogs. And I walked, I let him have that. But here's the thing is that the financial advice that I'm going to give is pretty unconventional, because that was really the start of like my manifesting journey.
Mm.
Because not only did I gain back everything, because I was like, God knows my heart.
Yeah.
God knows that I am a good person and that what I am fighting for is just. And I am going to get this back. Like, it's going to come back to me. And when that conversation the night before happened and then the confirmation that day, it was an act of surrender to walk. Right. And like to make that decision of like, I am going to close this chapter so that I could focus on me. That act of surrender, the universe will always reward your bravery and always reward your courage for doing something like that. And within 60 days, I kid you not, of that, this girl that was jobless, penniless, homeless. I literally didn't know where I was going to live because I live in San Diego.
Yes.
With two large dogs, the rent, nobody would ever rent to me, you know? I found this little house that had fallen out of escrow 3 times.
Oh my God.
It had been on the market for over a year. and had just fallen out of escrow for the third time for who knows what. And I went and I saw it on like this rainy day. My parents are realtors, so I just was like, hey, can I go see this place? And they're like, it's probably an expired listing. It's not even good. Anyway, long story short, I closed escrow on a home that I own with my name on it.
Yes.
And a job that is in my financial career realm. I'm in mortgage.
Yes.
Making great money.
Yes.
And it all worked out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think the first thing as part of financial advice is to really just like believe that you can, and to really be able to be in sync with what the universe is trying to tell you. There's signs everywhere. You know, and of course, then there's the Jen Sincero book that you mentioned.
Yes.
That was a huge, huge game changer for
me.
I
think came out like right at the time that it was like not too far off from when You Are a Badass came out, probably when you were going through that, actually.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a book for those of you that are listening. It's called You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Yes.
By Jen Sincero. I bought that on audiobook. I've listened to it a million times. It just really changed that mental talk with me. And I think with the mindset of really just going from how could I make such a dumb mistake to then shifting that mindset of like, I am financially capable. I am financially smart. And then I just started making financial smart decisions.
Yes.
You know?
I love that. Yeah. It's like you turned the page from like just reacting to life and started strategizing, it sounds like, and then realized that, oh, wait, there's not certain things that have to be in place for me to be able to strategize. You just think about, oh, no, I'm no longer willing to accept being a martyr to life in general. And I actually do have a say for what. So I'm so happy. That's amazing. Is this the house you're in right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
So beautiful. It's like white brick. You guys won't see it. Maybe another live or something, but in beautiful like wooden beams in your ceiling. I love it. It's like, it's so you just in the snippet that I can see.
Yeah. You know, and I live in the boonies. I live in the mountains of California.
Yes.
But when you walk out of my front door, I'm surrounded by mountains. It's like you see straight out to this valley. I get to see the sunset. I mean, it has been the most perfect little healing sanctuary that I don't even know how to explain it, how it happened, but
it sounds magical. Yeah. You were just ready. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, that was a big thing that I wanted to ask. I was curious about the financial literacy piece. And I think it is a big portion of that, even in my own journey with like the human design aspect in me, or just like, oh, like always having, feeling like I had to have another tether to another job. And like, that's kind of, for me, it was like divorcing corporate life to know that like, oh, I actually, I know that I am my own self-motivator. So if I just allow myself to get creative about my own business, I no longer have to do it for other businesses. I can just really go out and take charge with that. So, and that's like we could do a whole podcast just about money mindset and that in and of itself. But I just wanted to kind of give people an idea of like what it looks like, just the ability to even find your resources, you know, and what you kind of have to offer. So can you share with people, and we'll kind of end on like where they can find you, and then a little bit about the masterclass that you have available that's linked in the show notes today?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Her Heart Heals. My website is herheartheals.com. I have lots of free resources that, including my podcast, Rebuilding You. There's a new episode out just every other week we do. And I'm always doing some type of, you know, freebie or digital download that goes with the episode to really help you further your education in this journey. And then there's tons of ways for us to go deeper and to work together. right now I'm offering, I have a course that's going to be coming out. So it's going to be exciting. I can't share all the details yet, but if you're interested, I'm doing a free masterclass on April 2nd. Perfect. And it is my exact roadmap, like my secret roadmap of how I went from just surviving after divorce to thriving and all the steps that I took to get there. So if you are struggling with divorce and what your life looks like right now, where you're like, I thought that my life would be so much more than it is. And like, is this all to life that there is? I mean, there's 100% hope, greener pastures, and I'd be happy to show you how to get there. So hopefully you can join us. And yes, the link is in the show notes. So
thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited. I have a close friend of mine that's actually a client of Christina's right now. So I was like, oh my gosh, like you have to, we did a human design reading together. She's a coworker of mine, former coworker. And then we became friends and she's also a manifesting generator as well. So I was like, this is perfect. So you, it's like knowing that if you're a manifesting generator, if you're a 1-3, if you have a 3-5 profile, and you are going through any relationship struggles, I feel like in general, like those of us who, I'm a Pisces Venus, right? So my relationship stuff, even if it's not divorce, it's like, there's still some things that I could learn from your masterclass, you know, where it's like, it tracks for just mindset shifts. And there's always good nuggets and wisdoms that a beautiful 1-3 like you has to offer. So I'm so excited, but thank you for being here and just sharing your wisdom. And I'm excited. I want to have you back on at some point when your course is like up and running. So
I would love that.
Maybe a little bit more about that. And then a little bit more about like further details of like how human design and relationship interconnects too. We talked obviously a little bit about the profiles today, but that's like a whole, we could talk for 8 months straight just about that alone.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so excited. And I think for those of you that are listening that haven't worked with Brenna yet, yes, we have been talking about ways that we can incorporate human design too into my work. So yes, it's going to be perfect.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.